Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No. Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. I'm kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropped the presentations on over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer get a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs. Good afternoon. It is The Drive, ESPN Radio 93.5, The Drive with Tay and Piper. I am Lante. Derek Piper to the left today. He's letting me sit in the captain's seat. Kyle Toss to the right, about to give a very opinionated and emotional, from what I understand, take on LIV Golf and DP World Golf and PGA Tour joining forces. So I would say get the Kleenexes ready for Kyle. I'm looking forward to what he's about to present to us. Emotional would be watching the Cardinals and Cubs right now. And Derek, you still wore a Cardinal. Oops, sorry,
speech
Kyle.
On, I do have an emotional speech on watching the Cubs hit. That's what I do have one on.
Kyle, what does it feel like when you know that the inning is over and the Cubs are coming to bat? What goes through your mind?
Looking through the guide and figuring out what else is on, because it's painful to watch that.
When they bring up a guy named Mascotarone, what goes through your mind? Derek?
Shouldn't I be able to get that at Olive Garden? Of the Master Tyrone.
Derek, when I tell you that every outfielder is injured for the Cardinals, what goes through your mind?
I'd both like more Jim Edmonds and less Jim Edmonds.
Oh, my. I give Jim credit. Like, he's happy.
He is happy.
He's always happy. You know, he's like, who was he? He was talking about Paul DeJong with a guy at third. And I got what he was saying. He's like, all right, that's the pitch you got to go down, take to right field, and sacrifice an out for a run. He's like, I know there's going to take more than one run to win this game, but in that situation, you've got to at least put yourself on the line for the team, go down and get it, drive the run in. Next pitch, DeJong smokes a single to left field, right? So I'm like, in my mind, I'm going, Jim Edmund, he can't do anything right. Like, he's like the Cardinals right now. He's kind of the epitome of the Cardinals, where he can't do anything right. If he talks too much, we all can't stand that he talks too much. If he doesn't talk enough, it's like, what is he adding to the game? And then, but this happens last night, and it's like, swing and a shot to left field. That's a hit. That'll get the run home. And Edmonds is like,
it's
like he's just laughing about it.
It's some of that kind of stuff. It's the who he's texting and that kind of,
right. Right.
The extra Jim Edmonds, I'm not saying he doesn't bring anything to the game or analysis-wise, and I still one of my favorite Cardinals that I've ever watched during my
Amen.
My lifetime. Why don't you just lace him up and try to go play center for a week?
Well, is he healthy? I mean,
how about right field?
Yeah, let's put him in right. Let's put him in right. I'd still like to see him in right, though. All right, here's the scoop. The phone's ringing. I don't know if this is John Stott. I don't know. I don't know if we need to take the chance.
Phone caller roulette.
Let's try it. Is this Coach Staub?
This is, buddy. Sorry.
Yes!
Hectic day, bro. Hectic day.
And all apologies. None needed, believe me, Coach, because I'm glad to have you on, and it worked out perfect. We've got Lance Ringler coming up soon from Golf Week to talk about the PGA and the LIV and the DP World Tour all going together. So
I appreciate you having me. The only thing I know about golf is I can't play it.
That's good enough. So no opinion on your end on any of this merger, I assume. All right, John. Well, listen, Coach, you guys had an exceptional season. Unfortunately, it ended last night in a 4-0 loss to Effingham. But, you know, I mean, what a season for Champaign Central. You guys won the Big 12. You get all the way to the sectional final. I mean, this has to be one to remember for you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's very satisfying. Obviously, a historic season when you think about it, when you have time to think about it, and I haven't really had a whole lot of time. Started to think about it a little bit in the locker room last night when we met with the guys for the last time and kind of sank in. You know, I've been playing baseball at Champaign Central for a long time, and, you know, you're talking about a handful of seasons where these type of accomplishments happen. So just appreciative to be a part of it.
And you don't ever want to look too far ahead, do you, with the team? You don't want to sit there at the start of a season or midway through the season and say, oh, yeah, this team's destined for state. There are so many weird things that can happen in the postseason when it comes to high school baseball. And, of course, baseball is one of those that you might be going against their ace one day and your ace isn't on the mound that day and things can happen. So there's just so many variables to high school baseball that when you can even make it to, look, a sectional or a sectional final even, I mean, you know you've had a hell of a run in the postseason.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why, you know, I think everybody kind of calls me a sandbagger because they ask me how my team's going to be in the beginning of the year. And I do downplay it because, to your point, you never know. You never know what's going to happen, you know, with eligibility, with injuries, to your point, you know, just a bad matchup or two or five, you know. And and you just don't know how teams are going to gel. You know, every year, you know, I'm not saying anything no other coach would say, if you're going to have a special year, your seniors have to play special. And if they're not playing, they need to be special people in other ways. And we had that in spades this year with 8 seniors.
Wow.
Who were absolutely terrific leaders. And you know, 3 or 4 of them didn't play very much, but they embraced roles in other ways that made us better. So really going to miss those guys. And in fact, a handful of them didn't want to leave the locker room till about 10:30 last night because they were just sitting there talking about, you know, what a special run it was. So, yeah, to your point, you got to have things go your way. Last night didn't go our way. You got to tip your cap to Effingham. They were very good. And the Big Divot kid was as advertised. I mean, he's going to Missouri for a reason. I mean, he mixed it well. And I mean, I think TBR said they had him at 96. We didn't think he threw that hard, but he throws it pretty well. So hats off to them and hope they go win it.
Yeah, exactly.
John, what do you think about just the talent level in the area coming up? We've talked about Blake Walters. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see him this year at Mohammed. Obviously, your squad was really good. There's been some talent. Centennial, I got to bring that up because I'm a Centennial grad, but at points a few years ago. What do you think about just the Central Illinois and throughout the state, just the talent that's been here recently? It's exciting to see, is it not?
It is, yeah. I mean, Flip and Muhammad had a great year.
Yeah, they did.
Blake, I know him a little bit just working with the Yard Goats. He's an exceptional young man, first and foremost. And then, wow, what a bright future he has. Mm. And all the work he's put in, I know he's done a lot behind the scenes, and it's paid off. So wish him the best. We did not get to play them this year. Didn't quite work out. Flip and I tried a couple times to make it work for us, but didn't happen. Blake beat us 2 years ago as a sophomore, so you could kind of see it then, but he's really grown the last 2 years and gotten so much better. It's exciting. You know, it'll be interesting to see where he goes in the draft and the decisions he'll have to make. But yeah, to your point, we've been blessed here at Central with a run of good talent.
No doubt.
You know, Centennial, you know, with first year coach Vince Perry over there, they beat Community and West. And you just don't do that very often in the Big 12 on our side. So And there's always talent at St. Joe. I mean, they reload every year. Unity had a great year.
Yep.
Kimball over there and Unity had a good year. They won a regional. So, and Monticello. I mean, it's just there's a lot of talent around, and it's exciting. And it's good for the area for sure.
There's no doubt about it. How about your squad for next season? I know you mentioned the 8 seniors, and obviously that is a big crunch to take off a roster, but when you look forward, I know you've, on the hitting side especially, you've got some kids that are going to be able to put the ball in play next year and get out on that bases.
Yeah, I mean, the seniors, they talked to the underclassmen last night in our meeting at the end and said, hey, you guys have the talent here to keep it rolling next year. So, you know, to my point earlier, they're going to need to also step up as leaders,
sure,
right?
Sure.
Because, you know, that's such an important part of any team. Is the camaraderie and the brotherhood, and we really had that this year, and that made us tough to beat. I mean, we really believed, right, in each other. We didn't, you know, we've got one senior that's going to go on and play. I know there's a couple seniors maybe thinking about playing at a smaller school, but, you know, we don't have some of the talent that other teams that we played have, at least on paper, but, you know, between the lines, these guys believed in each other, loved each other, and played for each other, and when you have that, chances are you can overcome some other D1 talent maybe that's opposing you. So just really fun group to work with. Great coaching staff. Just a terrific booster club. The parents were great. Our alumni. I mean, I get so many texts from alumni. We had Danny O'Neill back, and nice. He wished the kids well. I mean, I'm just grateful to be a small part of it.
Well, I was going to ask you, Coach, you have been at Central for a while. You've had a lot of success, and I know you're not going anywhere soon. What has it meant to you, I mean, a guy from Iowa to come over and kind of ingrain yourself here in the Champaign community and to build a program that is so well-respected? What does that mean to you and, like, leaving a kind of a legacy that you've left and will continue to leave in the future?
Well, it's been gratifying, and it's not been easy. When I first started, the talent was on the other side of town. Centennial had it rolling. My first year was in 99. I was the JV coach, and Centennial went to state that year. They were loaded. So, you know, we've been blessed to have some talent come our way. And, you know, there was a year there in about 2010 where we were 6-31. So it has not always been easy. But we've tried to build a culture here of consistency and kind of some selflessness, and just, you know, we've been fortunate, you know, like it's nothing magical we're doing here.
Right.
We just show up and work every day, and we try to be consistent in the things that we teach and do. But it really, you know, it's all about the Joes. It's, you know, the Jimmys and the Joes, right? You got to have talent. You got to have players, and we've been lucky to have that.
That's awesome. Well, John Staub, you've done a wonderful job. It's been great to get to know you personally the last couple of years, and it was fun to watch this team get all the way to that sectional final. And, of course, like you mentioned, going against a really good pitcher that's going to Missouri. You got Walters going to Arizona. I know STM faced a kid out of Pontiac. I'm not sure if you did, that's going to Indiana. I mean, there's just
right.
It just seems – and then Normal, right? I think Normal had a kid you guys had to beat.
Yeah, the Eberle kid, he's going to Louisville. We faced him. We faced Uhi's freshman going to Indiana. I mean, the Teschke kid in Monticello.
Yes.
He's tough. He's going to Illinois State. Normal West, we faced a kid there going to Illinois State. So, you know, it makes it fun. It's, you know, it's a challenge. The kids, you know, they embrace that challenge. And, yeah, I'd be remiss if I didn't say that, you know, what a job that Mike Alves has done at STM.
Yep.
Three straight regionals in his first 3 years. Heck, it took me 12 years.
Wow.
So, hats off to him.
Well, it's true. And it's just, it's fun to see the great baseball and softball. I mean, I'm not leaving out softball. The softball's incredible around Central Illinois as well. But,
well,
John.
Yeah, you know this. You played fast pitch. I played fast pitch. That's as fun a game to watch as anything.
Oh.
And it is. It's a lot quicker than baseball. I learned that the hard way, playing third base and fast pitch. Trust me. Yeah.
Couple off
so,
the shin.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Congrats to Leroy. They had a hell of a run.
They really did. That was fun to watch. Well, Coach Staub, I definitely wanted to get you on here. You've done a wonderful job there at Central. Keep doing what you're doing, my friend, and thanks for joining us, John.
Sorry I was tardy. I appreciate you guys. Thanks for giving us the time.
Not a problem, buddy. Not a problem at all. That is Coach John Staub from Champaign Central. Yeah, I mean, listen, it worked out because now I got to take a break and get Lance Ringler on to talk a little PGA and LIV golf. I'm still confused about that. But, yeah, I mean, Coach Staub just went through that. Don't forget Tanner Thomas down at Arcola, who's going to be a junior at Arcola. He's already signed with Louisville. I mean, it's amazing the and, you know, maybe this is like it is every year. I'm not sure. But to have, like, we literally just threw out six or seven pitchers that are going high D1. Like, Louisville is as good as it gets. I mean, maybe not as good as it gets, but certainly they've been a power in college baseball. Missouri, not bad, obviously. Arizona. And I don't know that Blake Walters will ever make it to the Wildcats. I really don't. I think the MLB is going to come calling there, and I think that might make a difference for him. But what a career he had at Muhammad Seymour, especially his last couple of years. All right, when we come back to the golf and get Lance Ringler from Golf Week, get his opinion on this. It is The Drive.
Pepsi Cola Champaign Urbana Bottling, a valued member of the community for two generations, is proud to announce that applications are being accepted for commercial drivers. Do you have a CDL? Full-time positions include major medical, dental, a 401k, vacation time, sick time, and paid holidays. To view all openings and to apply, go to PepsiColaCU.com. Then under the More header, click Employment Opportunities. That's PepsiColaCU.com. Equal Opportunity Employer.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weavers Flooring and Furniture Gallery. It's time to come home to Carpet Weavers. We don't want you to just like your new floors. We want you to love them. From waterproof floors and carpet to furnitures and design advice, we've got a team of experts on your side. We'll get you the best price and the best quality products. And complete your home with furniture and accessories. Buy it all with free financing too. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Illini fans, stock up on great Illini gear this summer at the official fan store of the Fighting Illini, Game Day Spirit. Their famous buy one, get one free shirt selection is perfect for summer and has some great new designs. Shop their line of polos and other business casual apparel from great brands like Nike, Cutter & Buck, Tommy Bahama, and more. Refresh your wardrobe this summer at Game Day Spirit, located at the corner of Neal & Kirby in Champaign, 6th & Green in Campustown, and online at GameDaySpirit.com. Game Day Spirit, where Illini fan shop.
Kelsey Furniture in downtown Tuscola sells Tempur-Pedic beds. What's it like?
I'm going to tell you right now, Stevie, that thing is the best thing I've ever slept on in my life. My wife and I both have said we've never had better night's sleep. And the people at Kelsey's were fantastic. Brian is the guy that helped us. You know, as much as I did my research, he has a world of knowledge about beds themselves. Oh, man, it's like sleeping on a cloud, man.
Kelsey Furniture, downtown Tuscola.
Every industry has specialists, like Alan here. He knows radiators.
Radiators, I love them. Don't even talk to me about brakes or fuel lines.
Just radiators.
Radiators.
Sally is a specialist in cakes.
I think pies are an abomination.
Really? Pies?
Yuck.
Then we have Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. You know what they're great at? Appliances. Nothing else. No TVs, no computer printers, no radiators.
Who's got a problem with radiators?
Nobody, Alan, but you can't get one at Dick Van Dyke Appliance World.
Too bad, they're missing out.
I'm Dennis Regan, chairman of Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. All we do is appliances, and when that's all you do it better than anyone else. Our associates on our sales floors know more about them, our delivery people are better at installing them, and our technicians are better at fixing them. All right here in Central Illinois. Wow!
I can't believe you don't like pies, though.
What do I look like, some kind of a peasant?
No.
Cakes are really the best
thing. Dick Van Dyke Appliance World. When you buy from us, you get the whole store.
BMW, Buick, GMC, Honda, and Subaru. Welcome to Sarah Champaign. We can handle all your car repairs on-site, including paintless dent repair, bumpers, windshields, everything in between. We have an amazing selection of new or pre-owned vehicles to choose from. Shop from home and buy online or reserve your vehicle before it hits our website or dealership. Sarah Champaign is home of the Sarah One Price Promise, delivering an honest and transparent buying experience. Hurry in or shop online at sarahchampaign.com.
The sounds of spring and the smell of flowers in the air, they all add up to Spring Green, America's neighborhood lawn care team. They become your favorite through quality service and professionalism. Spring Green will service and maintain your lawnscape with seeding, aeration, fertilizing, disease, and insect control. Over 32 years of satisfied customers reflect their commitment to Champaign-Urbana and the Mattoon-Charleston area. Call Spring Green at 217-359-2111 or online at spring-green.com.
Heart failure, carpal tunnel syndrome, shortness of breath, stomach issues, lower back pain. How does it all add up? If you have heart failure and any of those seemingly unrelated symptoms sound familiar, it's time to talk with your cardiologist and get the full picture. They may add up to transthyretin amyloid cardiomyopathy. ATTRCM is a rare and underdiagnosed disease. Recognize the signs and discuss them with your doctor soon. Learn more at connectwithyourheart.com. That's connectwithyourheart.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Beastie Boys, their pipes? No.
Not really.
Kyle, have you even heard of the Beastie Boys?
No.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to. I'm excited, though, that we kind of found a common ground with The Office.
It's perfect.
Because normally, whenever I ask Kyle about anything in terms of the world, we have zero connections because he's so young and I'm so old. But you brought something up with The Office that he connected with, which is also you guys maybe one of these days just need to do an Office marathon for 2 hours. I do love the gifts.
Oh, yeah.
The constant great gifts that you get from that. All right, it's time to talk some more golf. We're all still confused by this, but we gave our opinion. So we'll see if it rhymes with what Lance Ringler from Golf Week is going to say. Lance joining us again. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Has there ever been anything in the golf world that's come on so sudden and surprising as today?
Hello, world. I don't know. Rose Zhang won a pro tournament in her first start.
That was cool.
I don't know. I don't know.
It was just, I mean, my oldest son called me and said, have you heard what's happening? And I'm like, no. And he starts telling me this. I'm like, what? I thought they hated each other.
Yeah, but I mean, there's so many things you can talk about with this. I mean, so many. I mean, at the end of the day, money wins. I mean, people who told me, months ago, Liv going away. No, not if they have $200 billion, they're not going anywhere.
Right.
That's basically they weren't going anywhere. And I remember I talked in the beginning of all this and I said, they have to find a way to work together. I don't know if I ever used the word merge, but they have to find a way to work. It should have never started off the way it did. I think what happened was, Liv came around and, it's like anything else in your community. If you have a business and another business comes into it and they're like, oh, it's the same. It's business. It's just, and we don't know what's going to happen because think about when one company absorbs another or buys a company, it takes months, maybe years before you find out the details. So the golf fans, they all want answers right now. They think that, oh, are we going to have live golf tournaments with a PGA Tour play? Who knows? I mean, but the big thing is what people have to realize here is the winners of all this, besides the few that got the millions and millions that jumped ship and now are back reinstated on the PGA Tour probably next year, they made out great, and all those PGA Tour players just said, no, I'm sticking to the PGA Tour because it's the best tour in the world. Well, those guys missed out on 20, 40, 60, 80 million dollars by trying to stick to their roots, because the PGA Tour said we'll never do anything like this. But the real winners are the fans. The fans now get to see Brooks and Bryson and Patrick Reed and Phil for a little bit longer play against John Rahm and Rory and all the guys. So that's the real winners in the whole deal, you know, the fans.
That's a great point.
Lance, what do you think is the fallout, if any? It might just be a bruised relationship in the immediate, but the fact that the PGA guys that stayed loyal got blindsided by this, and then it's like the people behind the scenes took the went across the picket line, so to speak, when they were told not to.
Correct. I mean, the fallout is those grinders, maybe those guys that are been grinding for years the guys that are hanging on, the Korn Ferry Tour guys that are going up, those are the guys that are, you know, where are we going to fit? Because now all of a sudden, you know, you have 25, 30 live guys that are some of the best in the world. I mean, you can say what you want about how they've been playing, but the Taylor Gooches, the Louis Oosthuizens, the Harold Varners, the Pat Perezes, those guys are all PGA Tour players.
Sure.
And they're going to come back and take up spots again. But you know what? You got to understand that why all this started in the first place. So, PGA Tour players wanted the things that they always wanted long before LIV, and this is when Greg Norman was trying to start this world tour anyway. They wanted to play for more money. They wanted less time off, or they wanted more time off. They wanted to play less events. And they also wanted their marketing rights back, and they also wanted to be able to not miss the cut and not make any money. They wanted to get paid. Well, the LIV Tour came along and gave guys all that.
Right.
And so, I mean, I always was shocked when people were so against the LIV. I mean, the reason you were so against it was just because how dare they? You know, how dare they?
Yep.
You know, because the PGA Tour is the PGA Tour. Well, you know what? Every business everybody has, there's always somebody better comes along. Well, the PGA Tour probably did what they had to do. They couldn't outlast that money. And so now they're going to join forces. Now, I don't think anybody has any idea what it's going to look like, because that's going to take months to sort out. But, you know, the fun part about this is, I have not personally been to a LIV event, but I had friends and coworkers that have, and all of them said it was great. So now I think about this. Where would LIV Golf work? LIV Golf would work at the new event in Myrtle Beach.
Yeah.
Where they're drinking at 7 a.m. LIV Golf would work at Scottsdale, right?
Big time.
LIV Golf would work in New York City.
Yeah, Philo.
LIV Golf would work in Chicago. I mean, so there's a few natural spots the PGA Tour owns. I shouldn't say own, but go
right
to, where LIV Golf is beautiful. Wear your shorts, play the music, and drink beer. I mean, so that could work on a few PGA Tour stops. I don't know if that's how it's going to happen. And I'm sure 72 hole events that the PGA Tour has always had, that those are going to stay. It's just now there's a new boss, and he's from Saudi Arabia, I believe.
Yeah. Well, and listen, I totally agree. To me, it's an attack on the traditionalists, right? I mean, it's like me.
Exactly.
A guy like me is that. I was not happy with it. I remember texting you the day that we started learning about this, and you're like, yeah, I'm staying away from this until I find out more information about it. But but that's truly what it is, right? I'm the guy that grew up with the Jack Nicklaus and the Arnold Palmer and the Tom Kite and the Tom Watson, and that's what I know that golf is. And then to all of a sudden say, and listen, there's nobody that parties more than me. Well, not anymore. I can't do it anymore. But Lance, I had my run. But you know, it's almost like now I'm supposed to like look at it and think, oh, well, they're partying on a plane like the WWE that did that one time where you got like people suing them. And it's like I'm supposed to think that that's cool now. But that's what it is, right? I mean, because in any other day, I love the idea of wearing shorts. I wear them every day.
Yeah.
Drinking beer, I do that all the time. But yet I hated it because it was like it was a shot at me being the traditionalist for years to go, why are you coming in and changing something that I don't want changed?
Right. And the other thing too is the guys that they got to jump ship were the villains.
Yes.
Patrick Reed, Bryson DeChambeau, Phil. Yes. Those are the villains. So it made it easy for the traditionalists to hate it. And I got some good friends that, I mean, when they talk about it, I mean, it's like death to the LIV Tour. It's like, oh, my gosh. I mean, who cares? These guys, I mean, you know. But the other thing is, for the traditionals, for the older people, older than me even, Didn't the NBA and the ABA do this?
Yeah.
Didn't the NFL and the – I don't even know what the league was. But when those leagues combined and absorbed into each other and merged, the product became better.
It did.
Well, the problem here is the product was really good. Then it split, but now it's going to get better again. Yep. You're going to get all those guys back. And, you know, so I don't know. I think this would have happened a whole lot sooner, and we never would have even got to this point had a John Rahm or Rory or somebody would have went in the beginning as well. But since those guys stood out, it took a while to get to this point. But,
that's
yeah, I don't know. I mean, and then at the end of the day, you know, the company that has the most money is going to get a set of rules, and that's what they're going to do.
Yep.
Lance, one thing I did look forward to was if they ever or at least cordial enough to do the LIV versus PGA type of square off. And I don't know that there will be allegiances anymore, whether these guys are LIV guys and these guys are PGA guys. But that would have been fun if we didn't have this kumbaya.
Yeah. Well, because the Ryder Cup's so cool, and now you have the LIV versus PGA Tour would have been far greater than any Ryder Cup ever.
Right.
It would have, just because you have actual, you have cheering and sides that people take and are emotional to. I doubt we've ever seen anything like that, but it'll be interesting to see. Basically what we're probably going to get is this grand world tour, because the DP Tour is involved in it as well. So we're going to get this, we're going to get what Greg Norman wanted 30 years ago, 40 years ago. He wanted a world tour. And unfortunately for Greg, he's probably left out of all of this, but I'm sure he got a payday in his involvement from the Saudis. But yeah, so, I mean, like I said, I don't know. Who knows what it's really going to look like and how it's going to be structured and how the tours are going to, players are going to remain on what tours and who knows. But, you know, that's what's going to yet to be seen.
If we started on a Thursday, you and I partying and golfing with Pat Perez, when would we be done? By Friday night?
If his wife's there, it'd be longer because she can go too. It would be a while. Those guys. There's a few others out there. They enjoy it.
I bet. I've seen stories, like I've seen shows on the Perez. He and his wife, and they are classic, man. They are so fun. They live in Arizona, right?
Yeah, they live in I believe, Scottsdale area.
That looks like it'd be so much fun. So much fun.
Yeah.
Got to ask you about Illinois golf. Obviously, they get to the final eight, and then they lose kind of the heartbreaker, obviously, there. Man, it just came down to making a stinking putt, didn't it?
Well, I don't know. I'm going to toot my own horn here. I picked Florida to win going into the championship.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And I picked Wake Forest women to win. So, but here's why. It's easy, because all you do is you take the couple 2-3 favorites out and you cross them off the list.
Yep.
And then you just go to whoever you think has the best lineup at 7, 8, 9. And that was, for me, it was Florida.
Wow.
Because it's really, this is a whole other topic, a segment, but college golf is unfair when it gets to the championship. The average winner of the college golf championship since they went to this format, which was 14, 15 years ago, is like 7.5. That's the ranking of the average winner, because they changed the way the game is played.
Yep.
The average winner in college men's basketball is around 2.5, I believe.
Mm.
You don't have the 15th ranked team in the country winning the college basketball tournament. But in golf, it happens once every 3 years, and it brings the ranking down, because they change the way they play the game. See, stroke play determines everything. It determines the rankings. It determines who you get to play in match play. But all match play does is determine the national champion. So it's really kind of – that's why I always said it's so hard. I mean, it's so hard for the favorite, North Carolina, Vanderbilt, Illinois. That was teams ranked 1, 2, and 3. I would have bet the house that one of those three runs won stroke play, which they did, and was North Carolina.
Yep.
But I never would pick them to win the whole thing, because once it gets to match play, it's basically like, okay, we're all even now.
That's
so you can have a really good player, and your really good player could be 2, 3, 4 shots better than the other team's good players. But in match play, he's just 1 point better.
Yep, that's a great point.
And that's even if he can win an 18-hole match.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to look at it if I'm Mike Small. I look at it like, well, I would have won one championship in stroke play. He would have won one if there was one year they did finish number one seed.
Yep.
So they would have one in this time. They would have one stroke play championship, but he has none. And you know, so I don't know. I mean, in the years when maybe they're ranked 6 through 15, yeah, it's better for Mike Small.
That's interesting.
But in the years when he's really good, it's not better for Mike Small.
That's
interesting. And Illinois. So yeah, it's just a whole. I was going to go through and break down all the sports, team sports, and just see what the average rankings were. And golf's got to be the highest at like 7.5. I mean, usually it's your one or two teams winning because that's right. The way the game's played all year. But they changed the way the game's played. When you think about it, if I went to the bar in Champaign right now and sat down with 10 sports guys and explained to them that, they'd go, what in the hell's wrong with college golf?
Right.
Why do you do that? You know, it's like it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. So. It doesn't. Here's my last question. Do you feel like guys like Coach Small and the rest of the crew will start trying to get more match play events during the season?
No, because Mike already, he doesn't play in the Big Ten Match Play Championship because it doesn't really benefit his team. It doesn't match play. If you're good, you're good. I mean, all it does, it doesn't help a good team. It just helps the team that's lesser become more even with the better team. You can't practice enough match play.
Got it.
That's not how it works. I mean, you know, if you went and played against Tiger Woods in one hole of golf, you could actually make a three maybe, and you might make a par, and you beat him. But you know, if you played nine holes, you'd never beat him.
No.
So you can't really simulate it or practice it. You just kind of figure out, and plus the way they do things, days of competition and opponents, it just doesn't make sense to play a lot of match plays. So that's kind of why they don't do it. But at the same time, they could, you know, they could say the sport has grown because it's on TV, it's more visible. There is some benefits to it, but at the end of the day, like I always tell everybody, it's really, really hard, and you have to be lucky to win a national championship.
Incredible stuff, Lance Ringler. Incredible stuff. The good news is we won't bother you for a while. So you're,
that's all right.
You're good.
I need to come over there sometime and be live with you guys for a day or something.
That would be incredible. That would be awesome. Listen, you are more than welcome to join us anytime. I know last year you came and played the new course. The newer course, I guess. Now
yeah,
it's still,
I invited you to come out with me.
You did. You were busy or something. I was. Yeah. I think I had the one meeting an insurance guy has all year that day. I was like, really, Lon? Well, listen, Lance, it is always fun to get your take on this, and you really break it down for us well, and we really appreciate it as always. So, hey, thanks, buddy.
All right, you guys be good. We'll talk soon.
Okay, man. Lance Ringler. Gosh, he called Florida and Wake Forest on the women's side that won the national title. So, man, it's interesting. And there's probably still people listening going, well, wait a minute. But if you're that good, you should win. But he's right. I mean, if Dave Chassart goes out, like look at what Jackson Buchanan did as a sophomore. He went out and finished one stroke from winning the stroke play national championship, right? He was like 6 under. He then turned around the next day and lost to probably the 4th-ranked golfer from, who'd we lose to? I've already gotten.
Florida State.
Oh, Florida State. He then lost to like the fourth place golfer. So that tells you right there, like over the stroke play, he beat that Florida State dude by probably 12 strokes. But that day, he lost to the fourth place, the number four golfer for Florida State, because after the three seniors, Jackson was probably the four on the list. Now, I don't know that Mike Small looked at him at that point as, well, he's my number four. I mean, obviously, after almost winning stroke, he's not Dave Chassart, but he's maybe number two going in, although Tommy Cool was so stinking. I mean, the whole time he was just, what's the word I'm looking
steady.
For? Steady. Steady, thank you. And then, of course, Bassard just couldn't make a putt. So I see where Lance is coming from when he says that, yeah, I don't. It's just frustrating. I was mad this year. I was really frustrated. I had an early bead on this team because I loved the idea that they had 3 50-year guys, and they had either Pearson Hunt, who I thought would be better in the NCAA, or Jackson Buchanan. I did not expect that out of Buchanan. I mean, that was unbelievable. But I just thought, you know, and then it's just, I know with the portal, I know with all this, I know Mike Small's been here before, and he rallies the crew immediately because he's the best. But you look at it, you just lost three really good golfers. And I don't even know who the 3 and 4 golfer are right now. So I know they got a great freshman coming in. I mean, you know, Mike Small reloads. But the idea that you had 3 fifth-year guys, two of which were consistent throughout, in fact, one that earned his Corn Ferry card in Adrian, and one that earned his Canadian card in Tommy Cool. And then you had Bassard, who, I mean, his play this year, his averages were unbelievable, and he lost by one. He lost one up. He just couldn't make a putt down the stretch. And Jackson Buchanan chips. I mean, he had to chip in on 17 to push it to 18. So it's amazing how it is. It would be like playing college basketball till the Elite Eight, on like how we do it, and then all of a sudden saying, hey, from now on we're playing, what was the style the TBT played?
Oh, the
where you had to get to, like, okay, whoops, sorry,
the,
Kyle.
The Elam ending. That's where you got to get, right, to a target score.
Yes. So that would almost be what this is about. Like, it'd be all like that, or getting to the Elite Eight and saying, okay, Brad Underwood, I need your 5 best players, and North Carolina, I need your 5 best. And so let's, Terrence Shannon, you're the
let's
one.
Play one-on-one.
You're going one-on-one. And 5 of you. So let's say Shannon wins and Meyer wins, and our 3 guy loses and our 4 guy loses. Then it comes down to Jaden Epps versus the 5th guy for North Carolina in a one-on-one battle. And whoever wins that advances to the Final Four. It's aggravating. It really is aggravating. But I'm happy. I'm like Jim Edmonds.
No, that's the thing, though. You can explain how hard it is to win a national title, and there's still the conversation. Lance brings up a good point that still high seeds, mm-hmm, for the most part, win the national title. You're usually awarding a team that goes in with a pretty darn good chance of winning it.
Right.
There's not many shockers, although UConn wasn't maybe the most popular pick. They weren't. But still, the fact is, like, there is still the narrative with the NCAA tournament that it doesn't always award the best team. At least is an argument, or it's hard because it's such a one-and-done,
yeah,
construct that,
yeah,
it gears towards the upset so much that it's more difficult than, say, the NBA Finals, where you get 7 games to beat the underdog, and usually over a 7-game sample size, you're going to be able to do so. But what I'm getting at is, while you can say, yeah, the NCAA tournament has flukiness and it's hard and you just need one off shooting night to be out, and we just went through the explanations with the golf thing, when you're still a good enough program, you want to be able to win one. And I'm not knocking Mike Small's program.
No.
They've done a fabulous job of making that the baseline of, they're expected to get to that spot most years, but it doesn't satisfy the fan,
right,
that's proud in the golf program, that's really proud in the men's basketball program, that they just haven't got over that hump yet because other really good programs have.
That's a great point. That I mean, tremendous. That's a tremendous point. And that was kind of the day that Illinois lost. That was kind of how I was crying a river over here, because it's, you know, for Illinois fans, and we can go through, I mean, we could go on a 2-hour tangent about this, and I did that day. It's just, we've been so close. They've been so close. And I know that tennis won a national title with Craig Tiley. I know that gymnastics has won plenty of national titles. I know that there's been individual NCAA champions in track and, you know, you name it. But yeah, until I almost feel like it would be an interesting study in psychology to see if Illinois would have won the title in 89, to take a guy like me at 19 years old and a huge Illini fan, how would I then look at all these Illinois programs going forward? I think eventually I would want to win another, correct? I mean, let's be honest. But I think I would not be quite as, and here's what it is. This goes back to my Arizona Cardinal fandom. When the Cardinals made the Super Bowl in 08 and 09, it validated me. Does that make sense? It validated me as a fan to say, hey, see, we can make a Super Bowl. Now, they didn't win it. They came damn close. But to me, it validated the idea that I'm a good, listen, we can be good. Whereas, before that point, I'd always been looked at as, you're a Cardinal fan. like walking in the Lambo with a Jake Plummer jersey and everybody not mad at me, not wanting to beat me up. They wanted to be my friend because they knew they were going to kick our ass and they knew it was going to be fun to talk smack to me the entire time. And I had to sit there and take it. And I went along with it. I'm like, yeah, well, listen, we're not very good. But so for Illinois basketball, it's almost as though from the outsiders viewing in, they're sitting there going, what have you guys ever done? Well, if you look at it, Illinois has done a lot in college basketball. But, and it's, you want that validation. Purdue wants that, mm-hmm. right? Look at how you look at Purdue. You look at them as a really strong Big Ten team that normally just doesn't get it done in the NCAA tournament. Well, hell, that's probably how they look at us. Even though Illinois has been to a couple national, well, we've been to one national title. But it's like, if you just get that one, if you would have gotten it in 89, if you would have gotten it in 05, would that calm us down as fans? It, because I then use it as a woe is me, even to last year's football team that had every chance in the world to win the West. And I'm like, whenever are we ever going to win the West again? And especially when they start mixing in USC and UCLA and whoever knows is going to come in. When is Illinois ever going to hoist a title in football? Not a national title, which would be unbelievable. I'm talking about a conference title. And so the chance that you had last year, but would I if we won in 05, if Illinois won the national title in 05 in basketball, mm-hmm. would I have taken that easier last year in football? Would I have been like, well, hey, we won the title in 05? Or would I then need validation for my football program?
You probably still need the validation for the football program.
You're probably right.
I wonder, I just had the thought, would the Illini fan base be even madder at Bruce Weber? Probably not. If he won the title and then fell off that mountain top so far, which Illinois still did. But I think at the end, you'd be like, well, at least we won a title.
Yeah, I think that's how I would feel, honestly, in my gut. I'd be like, well, we won a title.
But it would be that extra oomph of we are, maybe not a blue blood, but we are at the top.
Yes.
Look at from 2000 on to 2005, half a decade, we're not going anywhere.
Mm-mm.
We can compete with anybody. And then you fast forward like 5 or 7 years.
Oh,
and
boy. When Jalen Tate is your point guard.
You're pretty irrelevant nationally. And then you're like, what the heck happened? But you would say, hey, at least we got the title.
Yeah. I really feel like I would be like that.
But Cubs fans are a great example.
Yeah.
And sorry to do this, but like they went forever without winning one. They won one.
Yep.
And then they expected to win more.
They did. And you should
have.
And
when it didn't,
right,
then there was that disappointment. But they do come back to, we did get that title. So
that's true.
That's where you had the dynamic. You would not be, and you even said it after the Blues won.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be
totally
so
did.
Calm and chill, and nothing's going to bother me in sports. Because I'll just always say, you know what? Play Gloria, and I'm my happy self.
You totally are right.
It didn't take too long for that.
It's like a month later I was
that,
picked off.
Reaction to,
no, that's,
to go back.
That's such a perfect. And unfortunately, Kyle, at your age, you're not a perfect example of a Cubs fan.
No, I'm not.
That agonized. Like your dad would be that guy.
Absolutely.
Or your grandpa, you know, would especially be that guy that agonized for all those years and then finally won it. Now, someone like that might be like, I don't care if they win again. And I have been better on the hockey side. So maybe this proves the point that if Illinois basketball would have won in 05, would I have been okay with Illinois football not being that good? Well, I just answered my question. No, because when it comes to hockey now, I don't get mad necessarily at the Blues. I still have the run they went on in 18, 19. And I can sit there and say, well, they did win a cup, and I'll always have that. So I've calmed down to that point. I think I'm like that with the Cardinals, too, to a degree. I mean, they've won, what, 3 World Series titles in my life? That's pretty damn – that's a nice run. When you factor in the fact that they have the second most titles in baseball at 11, they've won 3 in my life. I mean, that's – I should never be upset about the Cardinals. But obviously, baseball's so different to me, though. That's my passion. Baseball is my passion when it comes to sports. I love NFL, don't get me wrong. I love hockey. I love college football. I love college basketball. Baseball is where it's at for me. That's where I love to have a good team. And it's so frustrating when you don't have a good team. That's the frustration. All right, Kyle, we never got to your emotional live PGA Tour thing. Do you just want to push it to tomorrow, or do you
we'll really build it up. You can make a tweet saying, don't miss it today.
We'll have some gif of somebody crying. Uh-huh. Kyle Toss gets emotional next. Hey, we got to thank John Staub for joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line and Lance Ringler for joining us on the Tapman's Towing phone line. My apologies to Tapman's Towing that I did not throw that out while we had them on. That is unprofessional, is what you call that. All right, we gotta get out of here. Pipes, what are we talking about tomorrow? Oh, we got Paul Klee, former Illinois beat writer. We got him at the top of the show talking Denver Nuggets and NBA basketball.
There it is.
Paul just said, he texted me back and he said, I miss Champaign Urbana. So we'll get his thoughts on it.
We got to have him tell some stories from when he was on the beat here.
That's an awesome. Although he's got 15 minutes because he's got a press conference at 3:20. Okay. Those NBA guys, they're so high on themselves. No, I'm totally kidding. All right, we're out of here. We'll talk to you tomorrow. It is The Drive. See ya.
When you're buying a battery, it's important to look beyond just the price and make sure you're buying a quality battery. So when you're buying one from the big box store, make sure you ask the question, what's the date on this battery? Is it dependable? Sometimes the big box stores have batteries that have been sitting on the shelf for years. Or you can just come to Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable, and buy your battery from the people who only do batteries. Interstate Batteries at 2504 North Madison, Champaign, way out there, but totally worth the drive. How much is dependable worth to you? Interstate Batteries open 6 days a week.
You spend half of your life indoors. That's half of your life underneath your roof. Who do you trust to keep you safe and dry underneath it? The name to remember is Roof Doctors. Roof Doctors understands the harsh weather conditions that your roof endures because they're a family and locally owned business. From your community, for your community, the doctors who make the house calls, Roof Doctors, at roofdoctors.com or phone 328-7529. Rest easy under a roof that's been treated by Roof Doctors.
Want unbeatable prices on your next furniture purchase, but also seeking that local hometown feel? Look no further than Kelsey Furniture in Tuscola. Customers rave about their friendly, established staff, as well as their great selection, amazing prices, and second-to-none delivery service. They're a third-generation local business, and they've always got your best interests at heart. Find the look you love for less. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Saturday, but always available online at KelseyFurniture.com. That's KelseyFurniture.com.
By now, you've all heard the expression, when you turn the key and the car won't run, call 367-9481 for PDR Automotive. They are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR. But who are they? They, the PDR staff, understand that a name is only as good as the people that represent it. The PDR staff has more than 335 years of combined automotive experience, several employees now on staff for more than 25 years. PDR, more than just a name. Family owned and operated, now celebrating over 50 years in business.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
Ready for an exciting change? At Merle Norman, we can take your look from ordinary to extraordinary in a matter of minutes. Our innovative skincare, perfectly matched foundations, and on-trend colors will make a difference that's written all over your face. Come in and see what a makeover can do. We'll help select the products that are just right for you, and we'll teach you tips that the pros know about applying your most flattering shades. Ask for your free express makeover today, calling 217-359-8100 or visit 706 West Market View Drive in Champaign.
Horizon Hobbies, our Sea Fest is coming to Eli.